The message of the Holy Spirit is not go and do, but come. The message of the bride, the church, is not go and do, it come. Come and welcome to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That one who hears, what does he have to say? Come. That one who is thirsty, what is he directed to do? Come. Whosoever will. Oh, I like that. I'm one of them. I am a whosoever. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. You don't have to find a reason in you to take it. Wouldn't it be something? Wouldn't it be a reason to praise God if you and I actually come to the Lord Jesus Christ even now?
Amen.
Wouldn't that be a blessing? Would you turn to John chapter 7? Verse 37. In that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Jesus stood and cried. Now that catches my attention. We read in another place, he shall not cry, nor strive, nor cause his voice to be heard in the streets. But here he stands up and cries and lifts up his voice so as to be heard. He means to be heard. And he did this on the last day, that great day of the Feast of Tabernacles. It had been going on for a week. And our Lord was looking at people who were just as confused and just as empty at the end of this festival as they were when they began. Now, what was going on at this time was certainly a time of confusion. Look in verse 25 of John chapter 7. Then said some of them of Jerusalem, is not this he whom they seek to kill? But lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing to him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? That's a powerful statement, isn't it? Howbeit, we know this man whence he is, but when Christ cometh, no man knows whence he is. Now that's contradictory. They say, he's the Christ. And they turn around and they say, we know where he's from, and nobody knows where Christ is from. That was contradiction. It was erroneous, because the Scriptures tell where Christ would come from. He would come from Bethlehem. Verse 28, then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, you both know me, and you know whence I am, and I'm not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom you know not. Now our Lord is telling them, you know me. You know I'm of God. You know, when I preach the gospel, I really believe this. When I preach the gospel, when I preach the truth, I believe that deep down, everybody who's listening knows it's the truth. They may not like it, but they know this is the truth. Everybody knows that. And our Lord says to these people, you know whence I am. You both know me, and you know where I am, whence I am. And I'm not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom you know not. You know I'm true, but you don't know me. You don't know me. But I know him, verse 29, for I am from him, and he has sent me. Then they sought to take him, to arrest him, but no man laid hands on him, because his hour was not yet come. And many of the people believed on him, and said, when Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these, which this man hath done? The Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him. They were jealous. And the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. And said Jesus unto them, yet a little while I'm with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. You shall seek me, and shall not find me, and where I am, thither you cannot come. Then said the Jews among themselves, whither will he go, that we shall not find him? Will he go and be dispersed among the Gentiles, and teach the Gentiles? What manner of saying is this that he saith, you shall seek me and shall not find me, and whither I am, thither you cannot come? Now we see a backdrop of confusion. We see a backdrop of contradiction. We see a backdrop of jealousy. All this was going on at this time. And our Lord looked at this group of people so confused. And he lifted up his voice and cried, if anybody's thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Now let's consider what our Lord says. If any man thirsts, let him come to me and drink. The fact of the matter is, not everybody does. Not everybody's thirsting for God. You know, preachers sometimes present a picture of all men thirsting and hungering to know God. They all have a hole in their heart that can't be fulfilled until they hear the truth. That's not so. Everybody's happy with things just the way they are. That's the way the natural man is. He's not thirsting for God. Oh, he might be religious, but he's not thirsting for the living God. He's satisfied with things the way they are. Not everybody thirsts. Our Lord did say, blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Not everybody does, but what a blessed thing it is to thirst. If any man thirsts. And I like this. If any man thirsts. Now you listen to me real carefully. The gospel is not for everybody.
That's right.
Jesus Christ never intended to save everybody. He said, I came not but for the lost sheep. I'm not sent but for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He never intended on saving everybody. He only came to save his elect. Now that's what the scripture teaches. That's just so. The gospel's not for everybody, but beloved, it is for anybody.
Amen.
It's for anybody. I like that. I kind of like that the way I like whosoever. I'm an anybody. If anyone thirsts, it doesn't matter how far away you are. It doesn't matter how sinful you are. It doesn't matter how ignorant and blind you are. It doesn't matter how confused you are, how despairing you may be. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. You don't have to find a reason in yourself. What a blessed, encouraging lifting up of the voice our Lord gives us. If any man thirsts, let him come to me and drink. If any man thirsts, thirst is the absence of a necessity. Isn't that what it is? It's a lack. It's a needing of that which is not in you and cannot be produced by you. It's a painful need. When you're thirsty, you need water, don't you? It's not optional. You need it. It's a necessity. You'll die without it. You have an emptiness, a void, a lack that you must have filled when you're thirsty. You consciously lack righteousness. You know it's not in you, but you thirst for it. You lack peace, and you want it. You know something of what it means to be a sinner and how you cannot not sin, so you thirst for the forgiveness of sin. Whatever it means to have my sins forgiven, I want that. I thirst for that. I thirst to know the truth. I want to know the truth, don't you? I want to know the truth concerning God. I want to know the truth concerning myself. I want to know the truth concerning salvation. I thirst to know the truth. I thirst for mercy. I want God to not give me what I deserve. I thirst for grace. I want God to give me what I do not deserve. A thirst is an absence. It's a void that must be filled. If any man thirsts. Anybody thirsty? Now I love what our Lord tells that thirsting one to do. If any man thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Now, I like this word, let him come. You know, we'll figure out a reason to think that we're not allowed to come, won't we? I can think of all kinds of reasons why I shouldn't be allowed to come. But what if you're not one of the elect? What if you can't come up with faith? You can't... What? Now, listen to me. This is a command. It's not an invitation that you're allowed to turn down. It's not an offer that's up to you to accept it or reject it. This is a command to you. Let him come. All the reasons that you would think would keep you from coming have been dealt with. You are allowed to come. Let him come. Well, what if I'm not one of the elect? You don't need to worry about that. I assure you, you don't. You are commanded by God to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. He commands you to. And I'm thankful it's a command. It's not, let me repeat, it's not so much an invitation that I can turn down. It's not so much an offer that I can accept or reject. It's a command that I must obey or God will send me to hell if I don't. That puts it in the right perspective, doesn't it? I must come. It's a command. Let him come. All things are now ready. All things are now ready. Let him come. Don't wait for anything. Come right now. He says, let him come to me. Christ himself is the only one who can do us any good. He's the only one who can quench our thirst. Turn back to John chapter 4. Verse 7, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift, the free gift of God. And who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? She didn't understand what he was talking about. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? She proves her ignorance here, doesn't she? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water, they'll thirst again. There's a whole lot in that statement, isn't there? But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. Whoever's thirsty, let him come to me. Now, what is this thing of coming to Christ? You know it's not coming to the front of the church. You know that. You know it's not coming to the waters of baptism. It's not even coming to what we call the doctrines of grace and coming to a new doctrinal position, or it's not coming to a new lifestyle. What is this thing of coming to the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, I can tell you some things that the Scripture teaches concerning coming to Christ, what it is. First of all, coming to Christ is the act of spiritual life. In John chapter 5, verse 40, our Lord said to that crowd, ye will not come to me that you might have life. Coming to Christ is what people who have spiritual life do. To whom coming? As unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. People who have life come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever it means to come, that's what they do. This thing of coming to Christ is the evidence of divine election. Our Lord said in John chapter 6, verse 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Coming to Christ is what those who are taught by God do. Our Lord said in John 6:45, it's written in the prophets that they shall all be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh to me. Now, if God teaches you what you're going to do and what I'm going to do, we're going to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, whatever that means. Coming to Christ is what those who are drawn by God do. Our Lord said in John 6:44, no man can come to me except he is drawn by the Father. Drawn irresistibly, where you must. This actually is the message of evangelism. We read from Revelation 22:17. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that's athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Now listen to me real carefully. Come and welcome to the Lord Jesus Christ. You are called upon, everybody in this room, you are called upon, you are commanded to come to Jesus Christ the Lord. How do I do it? I mean, he's seated at the right hand of the Father. I've never seen him physically. I've never heard his voice audibly. I don't know what he looks like. How do I do it? How do I get there? I'm flesh. I can't see into heaven. How can I get to the Lord Jesus Christ? What does it mean to come to Jesus Christ? Well, when you come to a place. And coming to Christ is coming to a person. When you come somewhere, you leave a place to get to another place, don't you? You leave one place and come to another, with the emphasis being not on what you're leaving, but where you're going. Isn't that what it is to come? In coming to Christ, I leave any form of salvation by works. I get out of Dodge. I leave. I don't want to have anything to do with any aspect of salvation where it's dependent upon some work that I perform. And I leave that. There's no good news in that. There's no comfort in that. There's no assurance in that. I leave any aspect of salvation by works. And if I haven't left, I've never come. Now understand that. If I haven't left salvation by works, I don't care what form it comes under. If I haven't left salvation by works, I've never come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody once said, repentance is what you leave. Faith is where you come. That's good, isn't it? It's the truth. And I come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now this was helpful to me. Would you look in John chapter 6, verse 35. John chapter 6, verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Coming to Christ and believing on Christ is the precise same thing. John chapter 1. Verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. To come to Christ is to believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what's it mean to believe on his name? I have a daughter who has a car. And it's her car. I gave it to her. It's a 1998 Volvo S70. She drives it around back and forth. It's her car. You know whose name it's in? Mine. She doesn't have the ability to get that car. It's in my name. Now, if she runs into someone and does damage to their property, to their person, who does the law hold responsible? Me. Who has to pay the damages? Me. It's in my name. Now, when I believe on his name, I am relying upon him to bear all the responsibility of my salvation. I'm relying completely on him. All that God requires of me, everything that God requires of me, I mean everything, he looks to his blessed Savior.
Amen. Amen.
I am relying on his name. Turn back to Psalm 106. Psalm 106. Verse 6. The psalmist says, we've sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We've done wickedly. Now that's a good confession, isn't it? That's somebody truly confessing their sins. Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They were a spiritually stupid people, and we're right with them. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies. They were an ungrateful people. But they provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. They were a provoking people. Nevertheless, he saved them. Why? Why? For his name's sake. That he might make his mighty power known. Be ye kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. To believe on his name, have you noticed in public prayer, and I know you do it in private prayer, when we pray, how do we end our prayer? In his name. What do I mean by that? Is that just some kind of magic religious formula, kind of like abracadabra? No. When I pray in his name, I'm saying, hear this prayer as he presents it to you. And it's his prayer and not mine. You see, my prayers, the problem is not some wandering thoughts or some evil thoughts. And you know what it is to pray and some evil thought comes into your mind, scares you to death, and thinking, that's bad. But the problem is not so much the wandering thoughts or the bad thoughts. It's who's praying.
Yeah.
That's the problem. Who's praying? But when I pray in his name, who's praying? It's Jesus Christ the Lord presenting my prayer before the Father. And it comes to him as a sweet smelling savor. And it is beautiful in his sight. I come in his name. To come to Christ is to believe on his name. Very much like the thief. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Oh, that was his only hope. Now, if the Lord Jesus Christ owns my worthless name before the Father, does anything else need to be said? That's what it is to believe on his name. It's to rely upon his name. So to come to Christ is to believe on his name. And listen to this. To come to Christ is not a long journey. You get there as soon as you come. And if it's taking you a long time, you got on the wrong road. I'm sure of it.
Yes.
Believe on Christ right now. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Young people, trust the Lord Jesus Christ right now. Old people, trust the Lord Jesus Christ right now. You're commanded to. Come and welcome. Now, what I'd like to attempt to do is tell you why I have come to the Lord Jesus Christ. But let me tell you something. I have come to him. And the reason I know I have come to him is because I'm coming to him right now.
Yes.
That's how I know. I'm coming to him right now as my wisdom and my righteousness and my sanctification and my redemption. I am coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how I know I've come. Now, I want to tell you why I've come to Christ, and I want it to be an encouragement to you to do the precise same thing. I want everybody in this room right now to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. So why do you come to him? Well, I come to Christ, first of all, because I need him. I need him. I have to have him. I need his person to represent me. I need his righteousness because I really believe I don't have a personal righteousness of my own works. I need his precious blood because I can't come up with a sin payment. I need his intercession to represent me before the Father. I need him. I need his presence. I need him to show me my need. Let not conscience make you linger, nor fitness fondly dream. The only fitness he requires is to feel your need of him. I can improve that.
Yes, sir.
The only fitness he requires is to have a need of him. Sometimes I don't feel it. But whether I feel it or don't, I've got it. I need the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I come to him. I need him. I come to Christ because I'm scared not to. I come to Christ because I had nowhere else to go. It's not like I have any other options. I come to Christ because I have to. Try not coming. I can't not come. I really can't. I come to Christ because I want to. Because He is altogether lovely. Our Lord said, if any man thirst, back to our text in John 7. If any man thirst, let him come. Let him come. All the reasons to not come have been removed. All things are ready. Let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now what this is talking about is the satisfaction one experiences in trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what satisfies my conscience? It is finished. I'm satisfied by that. You know what satisfies my conscience? Knowing that His righteousness is mine. And I come into the very presence of God as the very righteousness of God. That satisfies my conscience. Nothing else does. I am satisfied with the gospel of the Lord Jesus. God's satisfied with Christ. I am too. I'm satisfied the same thing God is. Now, I'm not satisfied with myself. I disappoint myself all the time. And I'm not satisfied. I'm not satisfied with anything about me. But I am satisfied to be saved by Christ Jesus alone. When Paul said, "Oh, that I may win Christ and be found in Him," I find complete satisfaction in God coming, looking for me, and finding me in one place. Not on my knees in prayer, not preaching, not witnessing, not studying, but simply in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I find complete satisfaction. Amen. You are complete in Him. Now look what He says. Out of His belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now we know that this is the work of God the Holy Spirit in a man from verse 13. But this spake He of the Spirit, which they that believe on Him should receive. This is the work of God the Holy Spirit in a man when he believes on Christ and finds complete satisfaction in Him. But I like to think of this thing. He doesn't have to look outside for this satisfaction. He doesn't have to look to some experience or something He's done. Out of His belly, from His innermost being, shall flow these rivers of living water. Now what this is a reference to is Christ as the water of life. When you're thirsty, what do you want? You want water. Water is a necessity. We drink water because we'll die without it. But I want you to think about this. Everything we drink has water in it. Orange juice, milk, coffee. I can't tell you the pleasure I get every morning out of drinking a cup of coffee. I love it. When I wake up in the morning, I'm thinking about it. I'm drawn to the coffee pot. I drink Starbucks. I splurge on that. I mean, you don't like Starbucks. I do. I love my fitness. I remember when I went through that sickness, they told me I couldn't drink coffee anymore. I thought I'd kill myself. I mean, that's how much I love drinking coffee. What's coffee without water? grounds. Doesn't taste good, does it? Christ makes his doctrine drinkable. We drink water for refreshment. How refreshed we are in simply believing on Christ. We drink water for growth. How we grow in simply leaning on Him. We wash ourselves with water. He's that fountain open for sin and uncleanness. Water's a softener, and the only thing that softens this hard heart is Christ Himself. Water is used for warmth. You know, when I'm really cold, the only thing that'll warm me up is a hot shower. That's when I, you know what it is to get, well, y'all probably don't know anything about it here. But at home, we get cold. And the only thing, when I'm that cold, get me in a hot shower, that'll warm me up. Christ Jesus, oh, the warmth. Water's for recreation. How we enjoy simply believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no pleasure on earth that can be compared to simply trusting Jesus Christ as my all. There's nothing. Nothing can be compared. And the only way you can understand that is by believing. If this is a mystery to you, if somebody thinks, what in the world is he talking about? It's because you've never really believed. To simply trust Christ. Now, let me back up. I don't want you to think, well, I haven't felt enough. I wish I hadn't said it that way. Believing that Christ is all in your salvation and you need nothing else is the most wonderful experience there is. Whosoever will. I like that. I like what our Lord said to that man in John chapter 5, who'd been crippled for 38 years sitting by that pool. Wilt thou be made whole? Are you willing to be made whole? Now, he didn't understand what the Lord said. He said, I don't have anybody to take me to the water. But our Lord said, are you willing to be made whole? Are you willing to be saved by Christ? I am. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Let not conscience make you linger, nor of fitness fondly dream. The only fitness he requireth is to have a need of him. This he gives you. 'Tis the Spirit's rising beam. Amen.